So, okay. So this morning, remember we were dealing with the Bible in our class last week. Were there any questions about the Bible as we were studying it last week? I know there were questions. Some wanted to know about the chronology of how the books were written. I'm working on a slide for that, just to put it in a nice order. But were there any other questions concerning the scriptures that you had as far as how the Bible's written? Anybody have any questions? So you guys are ready for the test. Okay. All right. So what makes the Bible different? The Bible is, of course, the inspired word of God. As the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. So let's turn our Bibles there. We'll start with that verse this morning. 2 Timothy 3:16. Here the Apostle Paul, he says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." And of course, we should add verse 17, "that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Now, the question for you this morning is this true? Is it true what Paul is saying here in 2 Timothy 3:16 concerning the scripture? Is the word of God all inspired? Is it inspired by God? Do you believe that the Bible is inspired of God? So if the Bible is inspired by God, what type of view should we have of the Bible? Or what response should we have as we have the written word, we have it in digital form? What should be our response to it if we believe it's the word of God? Rick? Okay. But if it's the word of God, what actions should you be taking? Yes. You should be obedient to the word of God. If it is the inspired word of God, that means you should be obedient to it. That's what you should be, is obedient to it. And we're aware of, like Rick was saying, there are some translations that are not translated correctly, so you need to be aware of that as well. Tommy?
Can you talk about translation issues?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 So, as you become more acquainted with the scriptures, you begin to see how it was translated. Some people get into studying the Greek. Do we have any Greek scholars in here? Anybody studies Greek? No one studies Greek. Okay. Some people study the Hebrew and the Aramaic. Those are very useful languages to get into because that's what the manuscripts were written in. And so it's good to be able to translate it from the Greek, from the Hebrew, from the Aramaic, so that you see what the intentions were, how it was translated into English. Sometimes you could go into the study of how the people decided to use the specific types of English words as well, and the different nuances. And so as time goes on, people are writing different translations from the Greek to English. So you have a variety of Bibles to choose from. And for me, and the advice that I received in school and as well as in my internship is when I'm studying the Bible, when I'm studying a text, I usually compare the different translations to see exactly what these different writers, how they translated it into English. But I also make my own translation of the scriptures from Greek to English because that's very useful because I have an ideal of what was the original thought of the Greek writers or the Hebrew writer or the Aramaic writer. So when I translate it into English, I kind of like, okay, maybe they should have said it like this. But sometimes there's commentary in some of these different books as people are translating, and they say, well, I translated it like this because this is what that word meant during this particular time. Like sometimes people will call me pastor. They'll call me pastor, but if you look up the word pastor today, it would definitely describe me. Anyone that teaches the word of God is considered a pastor. But when we go and look at what the Bible's talking about pastor, it's talking about Tommy. It's talking about Tommy. It's talking about the elders. So you've got to be able to understand what it meant back then when it was written, that word pastor, or the word we translate into English as pastor. So it's words, it's definitions, it's so many different nuances. The one thing that you'll find, those of you that are married, or those of you that have friends, those of you that interact with people, you socialize, you notice that in relationships, people mean different things by the same word. Anybody have that problem? Anybody have to redefine things? You may get upset with somebody because you thought they meant something else. Has anybody ever run into that before? Okay, you guys are shaking your head. Good, good, good. So the same thing is true when you're translating from another language to English, because the English language, you know, how many theirs are there? There's a few theirs. But even just using the word saying there as the ownership, people can still have a different meaning than what you are saying. We're not going to get into how people have accents and things like that, twang and all that stuff. Sometimes you have to just listen, really listen hard to understand what people are saying. And when someone speaks multiple languages, sometimes they kind of mix and blend what they're saying. So the same is true with the Bible. When you're coming from, Richard? No, go ahead. Go ahead. Yes, yes, exactly. Like someone will say, what? They say, I'm going to do this. Well, everyone, I'm going to do this, has a certain time limit. Some people say, I'm going to do this, and they're off and going. Somebody else will say, I'm going to do this, and it'll be 3 hours later before they take off and do it. So it just depends on who you're talking to. But when you're looking at Scripture, people view words differently. That's why we have lexicons, we have dictionaries, because these are places where we agree upon a specific meaning. And when we're using a particular word, that's the meaning that's in that particular dictionary that we're using. So it's important that we all are able to agree on a specific definition about something. If you turn over to Acts 2:38. Look at Acts 2:38. Just talking about a word. You look what Peter says in Acts 2:38. When he was saying to the people that in Acts 2:38 in response to what they were saying in Acts 2:37, where they said, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, and Peter said to them, repent, no one argues over what repent means, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of the sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now that word baptized is an anglicized word from the word baptizo, but it should be translated immerse. However, when people are on these different boards of translating, they will sometimes agree on a word that can cover all different modes of baptism. And so as you're studying your Bible, you will begin to understand these things. And so I just want to put those things out there for you. So if you're going to be a Bible student, you need to be serious about studying the Bible. Tommy?
So that word baptism, transliterated?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
King James believed in sprinkling.
Yes. So they were forced to come up with a word that would make him happy and everybody else happy. So instead of using immersion in King James, they chose baptism, which is a transliterated word for baptism. Yes, exactly. So that's just an example of how sometimes words are generalized to be able to accept all of the multitude of denominational viewpoints. So that's why it's good to be a student and you ask questions of the text. You have to investigate. Yes? Yes. 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 Yeah. So there's different ways of understanding what the text is talking about. And as you begin to continue to study deeper into the scriptures, you'll find yourself like, oh, man, what does this mean? How does this apply? But this word baptizo or baptismo, when you see that word, like you're talking to your different friends and they're like, yeah, I was baptized. But you ask them, how were you baptized? And why were you baptized? And then you begin to understand if they were baptized in accordance to the will of God, according to the Bible. So it's really amazing to be able to study the Bible, to be able to see the differences of why we have so many different denominations and churches because of the way people view things. It's because of people view things like, okay, we got the same manual, but why are we coming up with different viewpoints and not going in the same direction? So the Bible is inspired of God, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. And Rick went ahead of me. He said authoritative. since it is from God, it is authoritative, according to 1 Corinthians 14:37. So the scriptures are authoritative. And that should be our response, is that whatever God says, that's exactly what we should do, is follow after him. When we were studying a couple weeks ago, we were talking about, since Christ died for us, we should follow suit with whatever he tells us to do, because he died for us. And we've been bought with a price, and if we've been bought with a price, we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to Christ. So everything that we do, we need to recognize Christ. We need to see God's word as being authoritative and follow after the teachings. Because if we say that we've committed to God, we should be committed to God. So that's something that is we should all recognize. Let's see, 1 Corinthians 14:37. Any questions at this point about anything I've said so far? 1 Corinthians 14:37. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:37. He says, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. So that is a claim that Paul is making as he's writing to those that are in Corinth, making sure that the people understand these are not my words. These words that are coming out of my mouth are not from me, but they're from God, is what Paul is communicating, that whatever he's written to them are from the Lord and not his writing. So that's the command that we have here, that is from the Lord. So the other piece about what makes the Bible different is it is the complete revelation from God to man. Its completeness is seen in that it was delivered for all men for all time, according to Jude 1:3. We usually say Jude 3. He says in Jude 3, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." So it is complete. That it thoroughly supplies man with all he needs to accomplish those things that God has him to do. And we've looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So when we're thinking about the scriptures, we can utilize the scriptures to make corrections for people. We all have something that we can refer back to. If you're thinking about your relationship with your spouse, it's in here. If you're thinking about how to run a house, it's in here. If you want to talk about how to run a church or to start a church congregation, it's in here. It's all in the scriptures. This is an all-inclusive book. It has it all right here. I don't think that the Apostle Paul had all the commentaries I have in my office or on electronic. There are a lot of writings out there. But the Bible is so powerful and very useful for us. It's complete. And it also contains all things that pertain to life and godliness, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's turn there, if you will. 2 Peter. Yes, Rick. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's what a teacher would do is make sure that they understand the import of the words that are in the your Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic, and see how it would be translated into English, and how those he's teaching to understand what is being taught, because everyone is different, and people have different nuances and different viewpoints. So you've got to teach that individual, or if you're teaching a group, you're going to have a lot of variation. So it's important to have, like I like to have, open discussion. Because with open discussion, I'm hoping that you feel free to ask the questions that are necessary for you to understand what I'm talking about. Tommy? Yes.
See the difference between being sinful at birth and being born into a sinful world. That verse in the NIV sets up Calvinism.
Yes, yes. Yes, yeah. So it's important that as you're studying the scriptures, you understand exactly what the scriptures are teaching. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, very good. Very good. Man, maybe we need to teach a Greek class, Tommy. Tommy says, no, we've done that before. A Hebrew class? A Hebrew class. And. All right. I'll leave that one alone. Look at 2 Peter 1:3, please. Might as well look at the 1 through 3 there. Here in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So we've got it all. We've got it all. So that's what the scriptures are for us, all that we need. So since it was given to us by God to serve as our complete standard and guide, we must obey its commands and follow its precepts. That's the Bible. So that should be our response to the Bible, is that we should obey it. We should follow it. And if we don't understand it, we should search it out as good students and as people that are committed to God. We want to find out what God would have us to do. I'm reminded of, I know everybody here knows about Charlie Brown, but sometimes some scriptures may sound like wah, 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 and so you got to do some work. You got to start digging. Call a friend. Call a preacher. Call a brother or sister in Christ, and sometimes you might need to study it out. Get your Greek dictionary out. Get all of the different tools out that are out there to be able to help you understand what the scriptures are talking about. It's fun. It's a lot of fun to be able to dig into the Word and to understand what God has for us to do. Are there any questions about the different things we've talked about in dealing with the Bible? Everybody know where Haggai is? Everybody know where Jude is? He's the index, that's right. Somebody said, let me get my device out. Haggai. Malachi. Yeah, I really appreciate being able to just push a button and it comes right up. Yep. Sometimes it's hard to turn these pages. It's becoming more difficult. Doesn't get any better. Okay. All right. Yep. Somebody can read it to me. Hey, can you turn there? You guys, little fingers, little kids. All right. So I thought we had some more questions about how we got the Bible, but we're not going to get into that one today. But there weren't any questions about the Bible. Anybody? Yes, Elizabeth? Okay. Yes. Yeah, I mean, we have the responsibility to study. And one of the ways, does somebody have their hand up over here? One of the ways that will help you study is by talking to others about God. The more you talk to people about God, the more questions you're going to have to search out. I started a long time ago having conversations with people about the Bible. When I lived in Oakland, I used to ride the bus from Oakland to Berkeley. I had one of my parents' Bibles. and I just sit in the back of the bus. And undoubtedly, someone would say, hey, dude, what are you studying? And I was like, oh, I'm right here. They said, well, I got this question. And I didn't know all the answers, but we would find it in the Bible. That was one of those expensive Bibles. I don't know how I got it out the house. My parents never got upset with me because I had their Bible, which was really cool. Because I would either take my mom's or my dad's, whichever one was near, I would take it. But it had all of the different concordances, everything you needed to do research. You can do research right on the back of the bus. And people would ask all these questions. Sometimes I couldn't find the answer, so I had to go home and say, hey, Mom, Dad, this question here, can you help me? And then I go back if they were there on the bus the next day, and there we go. We got the answer. But the more you share the gospel or talk about the Bible with people, the more questions are going to come up, and it's going to make you search the scriptures. So as you go about your day, talk to somebody about the Bible. Ask them about a certain scripture or something of that nature, or however you interact with people, because I know sometimes people are like, I don't want to do that. It's too much. But if you really want to study the Bible every day, talk to people about the Bible, because there's going to be a question that comes up that you may not have the answer to. So that's a good way to get it, keep it going, keep that studying going, because those questions come up that you never thought of. I learn more from teaching class than I do from just my personal studies. Because I always tell people, if they have a question for me, give me 6 weeks so I can really thoroughly study it out and call all my buddies, because sometimes preachers don't return your calls. It takes them a while because they're busy. The elder, you know, people are busy. So 6 weeks is usually what I'll tell people, and they look at me like, what? You're still going to remember my question 6 weeks later? Yes, I will, because I'm looking, and I want to make sure I give the people the right answer. Because they'll always remember you gave them that answer. So you might as well be diligent about your studying. So sometimes you might ask me, I don't know the answer to it. Give me 6 weeks. And 6 weeks is usually long enough to be able to dive off into it and find some answers, or at least get some type of response or some type of a lead into your research question. Anyone else, any questions about Daniel? Okay. Yes. 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 Yes, yes, yeah. And it's like, I mean, to me, it's when you're looking for answers and you're searching, it takes the nervousness away, because some people are like, I might be intimidated and all this. You forget all about all of that. I mean, your voice might go up a little high or something every now and then, but you kind of forget about it, because you're developing a relationship with somebody concerning the Bible. So all of those things tend to get out of the way as you're talking to people. So it's always a blast. It's always fun for me. Because I was talking to, I didn't know those people on the back of the bus. I had no idea who they were. But then those people became my friends, and they're like, oh, we're going to have a discussion today. What did you study today? And so you just develop that relationship with people, and it's really cool. Yep. So, all right. So, in dealing with how the Bible teaches, if you're going to understand how the Bible teaches, you will need to understand authority in religion, what it is, why it is needed, and how it is expressed and how it is established. You see, all authority in religion resides with God, and he's expressed it in his word, the Bible, telling us what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live. this is a sticking point for many people, because there's a variety of ways that people view what God wants us to do in our lives. It's challenging. But like I was saying earlier, like with Acts 2:38, so many people will read that text and get different thoughts out of it. If you read some commentaries out there, these commentators are great exegetes. They're good at Greek, but when they get to Acts 2:38, they bow down to the people that are paying them. They bow down to their denomination. George? Yes. Yes. Yes, that's true. That's true. Yep. That is so true. Yes, Brian. Yes. Yes, that's true. Yep. I need an airplane. You guys caught that. You guys aren't slow at all. All right. Very good. Rick, go ahead. Yes. Oh. I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't even know that. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wonder Bread.
And the water.
What? Oh, okay. Yeah.
You don't even read your own
song. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Go ahead, George. What did you say, George?
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's the interpretations that we have are usually based off of what people have taught them in the past. It's the same thing that's true of all of us in here. There are certain ways that our parents, if you grew up in the church, taught you to come into a room. It's a certain way that your parents taught you how to do your hair, how to get dressed in the morning. All of those things are different. So we all have different perspectives of what a preacher should wear. If I wore my red suit this morning, I would get all different types of comments. Some people don't understand that. Don't understand that there's not necessarily a standard of dress for whether you're wearing a red suit, a white suit, a black suit, a gray suit. But these are things that people say that are common or standard for a preacher to wear. If I was to wear a collar, one of those collars with the little white thing, people would get upset and say, "You're not supposed to wear that." So, or if I came in like some of my friends I know that I've worked with at the police department, I can't even think of the name of the different Catholic faith that's in St. Dominic's. The St. Dominic's priests, they wear sandals and a long robe with a belt around with a cross that hangs down. He was like, "What are you doing?" But these are different viewpoints that people have. The only command is that you cover yourself and cover yourself well. There's no specific dress code for coming to church. Some people say, well, you can wear jeans, a Hawaiian shirt, or you can wear a tie, three-piece suit, what have you. I grew up wearing a three-piece suit to church when I was a little boy. And so when I saw people wearing jeans and all of those things, I was like, oh, okay, that's the way they do it. And I didn't say anything to anybody because that's the way that they were taught. But they were not necessarily violating or going against the will of God. Tommy?
So this is one of the best churches I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Unity.
Yes.
Matters of opinion, liberty.
Yes.
And all things above.
Yes. Yes. Yep. That's beautiful. Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yep. Richard? No. You said 2 Peter 1:19? No. Okay. I'll read it. Oh, you want to read it? No, I didn't read it. Okay, yeah. Yeah. So all of the teachings in the scriptures came from God, is what is mentioned there by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter. That was 1:19-21. So that should be added to your notes there. That's a good one. So it's important that we follow those things. It's really important. And that's when you look at the scripture, we all can see what is expected of us by God. Those things are important to follow. So, all right. Our time is up. Thank you.